This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And, you know, when it's time to plan a trip to Walt Disney World and you're thinking, where am I going to stay? I really don't want to be in a small cramped hotel room for a week or longer. I know you Brits like to go there for like 3 weeks. Boy, I love my family. I don't love them that much. I just don't want to be in the same room as my daughter. We need separation. We want to be able to go to sleep at a different time. I want to be able to go watch a movie late at night while my wife goes to bed. Regardless, you can do all this with an all-star vacation home. In fact, you can do a lot more than that. You can book it. You can cook a full meal, in fact. You can have Scopa come over. He did it for me and Len. Boy, was it great. You can do great things at All-Star Vacation Homes. There's so many great amenities. You know what? Go to the website. Check them out right now. AllStarVacationHomes.com. Check out all the great things they've got going on. AllStarVacationHomes.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Friday, October 10th, 2014, and this is episode 1407 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of the intro guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt? And I would like to wish everyone a happy Rothtober. It is David Lee Roth's birthday today. Woo!
Rothtober. Nice. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to show, Mike.
I can't top that, so hi.
Nice. All right. Well, on today's show, we're actually going to be talking about my recent trip to Walt Disney World. And, you know, I experienced quite a number of new things here. And I had so many observations. I started writing them down during my trip because this was such a different trip for us. It's our first, like, real Disney World trip since before we moved to Disney World. And then we've moved since back up northeast. So this is, like, our first real trip coming back. And the
whole tourist.
As a tourist. That's right. Like, real trip as in, like, we're flying down, we're staying in a resort for a couple weeks, for a week, in fact. And
as parents.
Yes, and also going with a three-year-old who can start to ride more things, and, you know, of course, the Fast Pass Plus stuff going on.
Wow. Stuff.
Yeah, so there was actually a lot of differences that we noticed, and I wanted to kind of, you know, hit upon some of the observations that I made. Hopefully, maybe this will help some people down the line here. So I'm going to start. This is kind of being the order of my touring, as my notes kind of imply, but I'm going to jump all around a little bit. First of all, we stayed offsite at the Orange Lake Resort, which is a resort that my family's been going to since I was a kid. It was a timeshare that was acquired by Holiday Inn Vacations about 10 years ago or so. And it's a really nice resort. It's a really great deal, in fact. In fact, it ranks higher in the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World than the Grand Floridian. I'm just saying. It costs a heck of a lot less.
I've stayed at Orange Lake. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we got a 2-bedroom villa
for like $100.
$100 a night. It's like, dude, it's a no-brainer.
Totally done that before. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to find the check-in area. From what I understand.
I know it, Len, because again, I've been going there since I've been like 12. But I agree. It's a little convoluted. But they have there's a Publix that's like built into the facility.
Yeah, right there. Yeah,
it's in fact, it shares a border with Animal Kingdom. Like. That you could, but
it's right there. Yeah.
It's really nice. So we stayed there. Beautiful. Had a great time. I'd highly recommend it for families. They have actually a massive pool area. There's two pool areas. One's just this massive called River Island. It's great for everybody. It's got a lazy river. It's got slides. And then they have also another pool area called Splash Lagoon, which is a pool area that's probably best designed for littler kids. Like they had a water slide my daughter could go down, and she can't swim. So it was perfect, in fact. She loved it over there. So we had a great time. So
how crowded was it?
It was dead, dude. It's September. I mean, you know, you could – I mean, I could – there was – I mean, no traffic, no competition for anything in terms of the resorts. So
I went in October and didn't see anyone else in my building.
Yeah, it was – we saw people, but it was like – it was I've seen it much more crowded. So, yeah, no competition at all. So my first – one thing, of course, we went to the studios because every reasonable family starts a vacation at the studios. And we went to Hollywood and Vine. So we pulled a Len Testa. I booked a reservation for two, showed up with three.
Sure. Yep. That's nothing.
So we booked it for like 8:15 a.m. Our thought was, okay, we're going to hit it. We're going to go in, eat. We'll be out by 9 o'clock, right in time for the attractions, right? Let me tell you something. Hollywood and Vine before 9 a.m. is like, it's like traffic in Atlanta in the morning, rush hour traffic. It's terrible. It's just the, it was like every single table was full. And it wasn't that we waited that long. We only waited probably like 5 or 10 minutes. But once you were in there, I mean,
there's a line for everything.
Yeah. We just missed the characters. So like it literally took an hour for them to come back around.
Oh, it takes an hour to cycle through.
There was just so – they were doing a good job, but it's just – there were so many people. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, Matt, I'm never going to eat there then, right? Because my daughter wants to meet these characters. It is good. You just need to go there after 9 a.m. Once you get to 9 a.m., dude, the place empties out like seventh inning at a losing game, at a home game. You know, it's just like
– look at the – yeah, like on a Monday night game where it's your team's down by five scores.
First quarter at any Jets game.
Yeah, or like a typical Jets game. Oh man, look at that. Well, it's like we'll beat the traffic.
Exactly. Dude, 9 o'clock hit, it emptied out. So if you want to eat a Hollywood and Vine, your really best bet is to eat there after 9. Because once you get there past 9 o'clock, the characters start to like they start to wait for you. It's like they because it's so empty past 9 o'clock. So it's kind of even look, we got there at 8:15, but I think even if you got there at 8 o'clock, I think still you're gonna be hard pressed, especially if you want to meet all the characters. My daughter was not leaving until she met.
I was gonna say, yeah.
All her fit, which she loved. It was great. I would say though, the reason we booked this also was that we wanted to have an opportunity to meet characters and not stand around and sweat to death. And of course, that particular day it had to be actually kind of nice out. So I was like, ugh, this is total loss. Like I'm losing out on nice time outside rather than, you know, the intended goal. But anyway,
Gabby's so happy.
She was. She enjoyed it. The food is really good. I always like their spread there, so there's that. Anyway, that was our one big splurge. In fact, this whole trip, we ate – did we eat in any other sit-down? We only ate two other times on Walt Disney World property.
All right, so this is the Lentesta dining plan.
Yeah. Well, we ate – this is a sit-down, so this violated it.
I would have done it, yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise, we only ate at Sunshine Seasons.
Okay.
And we and Cosmic Rays.
Wow.
That was it.
Like cafe.
Because, of course, one of our strategies was we got there, we did rope drop every morning, and then we would leave somewhere between 12 and 1 o'clock, depending on how the fast passes kind of worked out, to go back to the resort, go for a swim, take a nap, mostly for me, and then come back. And then usually what happens, so we'd leave property, we'd eat lunch off property, and then when we're coming back, we would grab something else off property.
On the way in, yeah.
On the way in. So it rarely – and it worked out great because the reality was for off property, we could probably eat – I think most of our bills with tip came to like $30 maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so that's $10 a person. That's like nothing, you know? And so that really saves a lot of money.
It's literally not breakfast at Disney World. I mean, it's not.
And we had a lot more selection. We had way more variety. It wasn't just having a burger, a chicken sandwich, and, you know, a soda.
Did you pick up anything at Publix before you you got to the
– Yep. Went to Publix, got a couple of different things there. So we stocked up because, of course, we had a full refrigerator, full kitchen. So stocked up there. That was always nice. So I don't eat breakfast. My daughter and my wife do. So they got stuff for them, and they were able to have it for them in the morning.
Plus, you know, you can't keep Marissa out of the kitchen. So, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know.
Yikes.
It's nice also to have, like, you know, chips and salsa when we come home and just,
exactly.
So we went to – that morning at the studios, we did something that Len recommended, which is to go straight to – right at 9 a.m. to go out to the FastPass Plus kiosks and go trade in whatever fast passes we had for Toy Story Midway Mania. And we went – so I went – we were still actually in Hollywood and Vine. But I told my wife, I was like, I'll be right back. BRB, going to go. And I bolted out the restaurant.
BRB, TSMM, FP Plus.
Yeah, exactly. LOL. And then I ran back to – the kiosks at the tip board were not working. They directed me back to the Sorcerer's Hat underneath there. And I went to – there was one cast member. It was kind of like trying to like find where's Waldo. Yeah. I was like, are you the fast pass? Are you the gatekeeper? You know? And it was like,
I am the keymaster.
I'm the keymaster. Exactly. I'm so happy you get these references. And I told him, I said, yay, can we get that? A fast pass plus for Toy Story Innovation. He scanned it. Nothing available. It's like, rats. Ah. All right. So what happened was we went around our day. One of the things we'd also noticed was this may not be appropriate anymore, but if they ever bring this back, during the Frozen Summer Fun thing, at Toy Story Midway Mania at around 11 a.m., the line dropped big time because every single kid is out.
They're doing the parade.
Yeah, we just happened to be walking by, and I think they waited like 40 minutes. We're like, that's under an hour. All right, we'll do it. We, you know, otherwise we're not going to ride. And we walked in. We walked all the way up to Mr. Potato Head.
Wow.
There was no line. Yeah. So if they ever do another Frozen thing or something where kids are really a big part of the parade that's going to suck people away from there, that go to the Toy Story.
Theme thing. Yeah.
I also noticed, and I think we've talked about this before, FastPass Plus, it's you know what it's like? It's like when there's huge traffic on the highway and you drive in the shoulder and pass everybody. That's what FastPass Plus is like. When you have it, it's great. When you're the guy who's getting passed, it's like that guy. What a jerk.
I hate that guy.
It's great. You know what? It works for attractions that always had FastPass, you know, like the major headliners. It, you know, essentially works the same.
Yeah.
But for it makes lines for – it creates longer standby lines for attractions that –
secondary attractions.
Yeah, that, that never had a wait. So, like, there would be waits, longer waits at Great Movie Ride, Muppet Vision especially.
Yep.
And it's just like –
Did you finally see the back queue of Muppet Vision?
Like, no, I didn't wait.
I didn't know this was here.
In principle, I did not wait. And I said, no, we're coming back later. It was just – I mean, it was great to have it when you have it. When we had it, I felt like king of the world. But, man, did I really hate – did I despise it most of the times when we were staying there? I was like, oh, God, I could have been through this already if not for these FastPass Pluses that are unnecessary. Yeah. But it was nice when you had it. So our evolution was – at first we were booking the FastPasses in advance. I think before our trip, 30 days out, my wife booked a number of them. But as we got closer in, especially in the Magic Kingdom, I decided one day, you know what? We're not going to book anything. We're going to cancel them all. Because there was nothing there was really – it's like, okay, I could book like Jungle Cruise and Buzz Lightyear. Great. That's not really going to help me that much.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens when we get there. So we went with nothing. Absolutely zero.
Wow.
And we waited. So we rope dropped. Again, by the way, monorail not working because, of course, it's 2014 and they can't afford to fix the monorail. And so we take the boats, which take forever because they don't load officially. Anyway, we get to the Magic Kingdom. We would always get there about 8:45. So we'd pretty much the line would be back exactly at the turnstiles, which are not actually turnstiles anymore, but for lack of a better word. Anyway, we get there. We walked with the huge, massive crowd through the castle like everybody. They were directing people to – you had to go to the left of the carousel, and then you could either go – at that point, then when you get around the carousel, then be like, okay, go over here for Seven Dwarfs and go over here for Anna and Elsa. So we actually did the third option, which is we went right to PhilharMagic, went to the kiosk, swiped our thing, and bam, we got Anna and Elsa meet and greet right off the bat. No problem. 10 o'clock in the morning. So that was like awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. That was really good. I actually tried that the next day. That didn't work. So 1 out of 2 ain't bad, but. It worked, but the point was that we could pretty much get everything we wanted. The only things that were questionable were Seven Dwarfs and Anna and Elsa. But otherwise, it worked out really well. And in fact, I started embracing the kiosks because I just figured it was like, you know what? I don't know what I want in an hour from now, but I know what I want right now. So we'd go, we'd ride whatever we wanted to ride, and we'd go right back to whatever – because there's in the Magic Kingdom, it's really easy because there's one in Fantasyland. There's one in Tomorrowland. So inevitably, we'd be passing them all the time. So we'd stop in. And in the morning hours, the lines aren't that bad. In the afternoon, it starts to pick up there a little bit. But it was great because we could go in there, recycle all your fast passes. Because one thing I think people forget is even if you book your 3 in advance, you can still cycle through those. Like you can go back and be like, you know, after 1, be like, I really don't want 2 and 3. I want to change it to something else. You can do that.
Yeah.
You're not married to them. And I think that was a misconception I had. I thought – you book 3 and you're stuck with 3 until you get out of 3. And then once you get past 3, man, it's like – it's awesome because you just keep going back. Like, I want another one. I want another one. And that is what's really cool about FastPass Plus if you ask me. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but that I love getting – this is the advantage over – because in old FastPass, you had to go to the attraction, get the ticket. And
yeah.
It just – again, this is – for the attractions that never – like the mid-level, like Buzz Lightyear. I never rode Buzz Lightyear so many times in my life. Because the fast pass with that, I could go through. We went through the line, I don't know how many times, and we'd always get the fast pass like 3 minutes before we went in there. I wanted to be like the people in line, like, you idiots, go get a fast pass. You don't have to stand in here. And it was beautiful. So in some cases, it worked out really well. Others, like the Haunted Mansion, man, that line took forever because of, again, a fast pass plus. So it was, you know, good and bad. The other things I have here, advantage of booking FastPass Plus in park is easier to schedule things for the morning. Oh, yeah. And then more quickly get past the first 3. So, you know, on a good day, we would get probably 4 FastPasses by noon. And then you come back in the afternoon, we got plenty more to go. So that worked out really, really well. Oh, here's a rule. Oh, my gosh. All right.
Here he goes.
Let me tell you something. This is the rule. Please, if you remember one thing from this podcast, make it this. When the Magic Kingdom closes, the resort monorail is never, ever, ever the fast way out of the park. I cannot explain to you in words how bad an experience this was. We left the park. Magic Kingdom closed. It was like, all right, so we have the express monorail, we have the resort monorail, and we have the boats. Because we parked at the TTC.
Or we can walk.
No, you can't.
You can't walk to the TTC.
Theoretically, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, oh, the resort monorail doesn't have a long line. Let's go there. So we waited like 20 minutes. No monorails came. All right. And then one finally came. It's like, all right, whatever. One came, and it went really slow. I was like, okay, that's really weird. And then we waited about 10 minutes later. We moved up the line, and another monorail came, and it came really slow. So that monorail left, and we were finally like we were the next people, you know, to go in the monorail. And another one did not come for 45 minutes.
Whoa.
To the point where the other monorails were completely empty. More express monorails were just coming into the station empty and leaving empty.
Wow.
And the boats were coming in and leaving. Everybody was gone. We were the only people left, and we could not leave because there was still a crowd behind us, and they had closed off everything else. So we were forced to stay on this resort monorail.
Wow.
The resort monorail finally comes. We get on there. It's creeping. I mean, like 5 miles an hour maximum. We get to the Contemporary. This is the last monorail of the night.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
If you want to get off here, you have to get off. We're not going back to the Magic Kingdom. You have to get off here. Like, it took forever. I don't know what took so long, but it was the worst decision I ever made in terms of leaving. Like, honestly, Glenn, your walking idea would have been better if we had gone to the Contemporary and just walked back on the road.
On the road.
It was just the worst decision I ever made in my life. So please remember that is always a terrible decision. We rode a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, went with my daughter, who was actually tall enough for it. She was all about it. She watched – my wife made her watch all these YouTube videos so she know exactly what to expect. And I never watched any videos because I don't like spoilers. And then my daughter proceeded to tell me every single spoiler about the ride. So thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, kid.
Yeah, it's be like, oh, this is going to be like the part where Snow White's going to be on the ceiling. Be like, no, I don't want to know about that.
I heard it on a podcast.
But it was really good. The queue was nice. The spinning barrels, this is kind of spoilers, not that I say that, but it was a fun ride. My daughter in the end was kind of scared and didn't want to ride it for the rest of the week, but it was fun. It was a nice little ride. We had a good time there. I think that was the only thing that was new to us that we hadn't ridden before. Otherwise, New Fantasyland, we did that a number of times. Unremarkable. I think we mentioned in the other podcast, there were people at 10 o'clock in the morning in line for standby for the Be Our Guest. At 10 o'clock with no cover.
Oh, yeah. No, it happened, yeah.
I just want to be like, what's the point? Because they're going to be out there. How long are they going to be out there, Len? For another hour and a half, maybe?
No, they start lunch at 10:30. Half an hour?
Oh, 10:30. I thought it was like 11:30.
But still, they've probably committed half an hour already, so they're probably waiting an hour.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, and then they're going to pay to eat there. I didn't understand.
It's a lot for I mean, the thing is, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's a fantastic place to eat. But if you're looking just in terms of quality of food and how people rate the quality of the food, Columbia Harbor House has no wait and is rated slightly higher by unofficial guide readers.
We saw the new parade in the Magic Kingdom. That was pretty cool.
Festival of Fantasy.
Yeah. So. Again, bad decision. So we're like, okay, we're going to go see the parade. So we went to – first we went all the way to Main Street. It was like, hey, the parade's going to start here. We're going to leave immediately. Sorry, the parade ends here. Oh. So we turned around and we're like, all right, we're going to go to I have the perfect spot. We're going to go to Frontierland. So we went all the way back to Frontierland, watched the parade right by – how do I explain this? It's by Splash – where Splash Mountain and Pecos Bill's meet.
Yep.
That walkway over there.
Yeah, there's like pretty much the farthest possible point from Main Street.
Yes, exactly.
You could be in
the floats come
along it's like the entryway for the floats.
Yes, and I had a perfect plan. I was like, here's the perfect plan. We're going to see the floats as they come out. As soon as it's over, we're going to turn around, bolt back down through Adventureland, past Pirates. We'll beat the parade back, and we'll get through there, and we'll get home before our afternoon break. This will be perfect. All right, this is already like, you know, 2 o'clock. Because way past nap time.
You got home at 5?
So we see the parade. First of all, it's like 1,000 degrees outside. 100% humidity. I don't know. I went to Pecos Bill's and got water, and we drank that like horses from a trough. We were just like – it was so profusely hot out. that it was I don't know what happened during the time. Like, we just it was disgusting out. My wife later told me she thought your blood got thicker. Yeah, my wife thought told me later that she thought she was going to throw up during the time. I was like, okay, that's really not great. We see the parade. It's very cool. I do like the floats. It's very nice for princesses. It's huge. It's a very cool thing. I really enjoyed it. I thought the floats were really nice. But, man, did I not want to sit in that humidity for it. We did actually – so then we bolted back. We did. Our plan worked. We did – I think we were able to beat it back to the hub and get out. The problem was, again, we – the price
were
we
you
paid
really? –
Yeah, we did. The problem was the price we paid was we waited like an hour and a half in the heat. We like died out there. And it was to watch a parade. Yeah, exactly. And in your air conditioning. Exactly. So this plan this plan works out really well when it's not 1,000 degrees outside. In like December for reunions, you want to do this plan, totally will work.
Genius. Genius.
Yeah. But otherwise, it's just asking for trouble.
Not so much.
Yeah, those we ate a lot of off-site. We ate at Bruno's Italian, Len, which you've been to.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
I liked it.
Yeah. I get it. It's inexpensive. It's good attack. I like Giordano's a little bit better.
We tried also, speaking of things that Len may or may not like, we tried – have you tried Shula's Burgers, which is actually Don Shula again, like the Shula's?
No. Where's that?
It's right on right across from Orange Lake. You know where the Target is, that shopping center?
Yeah.
There's a Shula's Burgers that opened up. So this is the same Shula's like Shula's in the Dolphin, right? The really expensive steakhouse. Same dude.
Is it towards the street or is it in the shopping center?
In the shopping center. You like you have to pull into the shopping center to go there.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't bad actually. It was actually really good burgers. All they serve really it's kind of like what's that restaurant? No, the restaurant Fuddruckers. It's a Fuddruckers without the Fixin's bar that the Fuddruckers has.
It's Shellruckers.
It's just
Ruckers.
But what's cool is they give you these buns that are freshly made, and they actually like the imprint, like they brand Shula's into the bun, like you do a cow.
Sure.
Yeah. And it was good, and it's Shula's, so I felt like I was eating high end burgers, and it wasn't that expensive actually. It was probably like
This was probably yesterday's sirloin.
So you got to tell Bob since he loves Shula's. So
I will. We'll check it out.
Yeah, not a bad. Otherwise, we ate at some favorites. I actually did not, and I didn't realize until like towards the end of the trip, I never ate at Waffle House. It was a sad day in my life.
Man, I had Waffle House for breakfast today.
Jerk.
Chris Eliopoulos is going to be so upset with you.
I tweeted him from the Waffle House.
Yeah, he didn't reply back fondly, I don't think.
No, he did not.
No.
Yeah, otherwise, it was a really good trip. I saw a Festival of the Lion King for the first time. Most boring attraction ever.
Really? I loved it when I saw it in August.
Oh, so wow. Boring. Like, I don't care. It's singing without any plot.
Uh huh.
It's a story. There's no story. Because I was like, maybe
you,
my.
Maybe you know
I
the story, Matt.
So I went to go see Finding Nemo, the musical.
So most of pop music, you just. See, I think. For me, the problem with Finding Nemo is I know how it's going to end.
Well,
that's the problem with the plot, you know, right?
But I loved it. I love Finding Nemo. That was great. I thought that was wonderful. Well, that was worth that.
If I never see it again, I'll be absolutely.
Oh, wrong. Dude. I had the same opinion about Festival of Lion King. Boring. It was just, there was no plot. I don't care about making animal noises in the beginning. And then when they came, I was like, here comes the show. I was expecting a story. Like, here's the story of the Lion King. No, it's them singing songs. And it was just like, it's singing for the sake of singing. I just didn't enjoy it at all. My daughter didn't enjoy it. My wife loves it. So whatever, for what it's worth. But
I thought it was great when I went.
Yeah.
Just not, all right. Not my thing.
Singing for the sake of – so live concerts for Matt are just out. Has them applaud.
No, I like no concerts. You know what I hate is like concerts like Fish or Grateful Dead or
– Oh, jam bands.
Yeah, like go on – like make the song go on forever.
Yeah.
Those I can't stand. Damn, but otherwise, I want to hear the song and then let's move on to the next song.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. A glimpse into my soul here.
Yeah, I was gonna add, that's one way of thinking about that. All right, good.
But it was a good trip. We saw a lot. We did a lot.
Did you guys rent a car?
We did.
From?
Budget.
Did you price line it?
No, we did.
Discount code from MassSavers?
Yeah, I think so. We did so many. We tried that one website from the unofficial guide that you recommended. Yeah, we tried that. I think at the end we just got a deal on – I forgot where we got the last deal on. But boy, let me tell you, I think we said this before. Do yourself a favor. Once you book whatever your book, go and join their frequent renters club.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't do it, we breezed past a huge line. Went right over there, got our keys, and we're in and out. Oh, we also flew in and out of Tampa, which was new to us.
Oh.
We save money from Orlando. Very easy. Tampa's airport looks exactly like Orlando's airport. It's actually
nice. Really?
It's the rental car
lab. Hey, we're building one. Why don't we just – there's another one over there.
But inside is very nice. It's very easy. It's probably nicer than Orlando's. It's just – but to get from Orlando – from Tampa's airport to Orlando, driving, I would say 45 to 55 minutes.
Yeah.
Very easy drive. It's just all on I-4. That's all it is. It's – we saved a lot of money by doing that, and it worked out really well for us. So – I would recommend that, but make sure you book a rental car company that is in the airport, because there are some that are outside the airport in Tampa, and that takes longer.
It's a hassle, yeah.
Yeah, but we booked for budget. We got bumped up to a midsize, so that was our full size rather. I'm sorry,
Island.
Yeah.
Did you have the Lincoln Continental full size?
we had a Dodge Charger.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah, felt like the police.
Yeah.
So good.
Sting.
What?
Sting?
No, yeah, the Sting.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like Stuart Copeland.
My hair was falling out by the handful, and I was. It was a good trip all around. Probably about a little more crowd than we were expecting in terms of Disney World. We did Food and Wine in the morning. That's the only way to do it. Go in the morning. Go in a weekday. It's far easier to enjoy. But I'll tell you this, and I've said this before. I really hate Food and Wine now. It's become crowded, full of drunks.
Hey, did you see they stopped selling the large-sized beers now? They used to sell a 6, a 12, and a 22-ounce beer. Now they only sell 6-ounce beers.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, it's because they're cracking down on the drunks.
Wow. If they crack down on the drunks, they'll crack down on people that walk in with T-shirts saying about where they're going to drink all around the world and say, sir, you're not going in. Yeah. Until they do that, it doesn't matter. It's just cannot enjoy Epcot in the evening.
And really, who cares where you've been drinking? I certainly don't.
Exactly. Just have a few drinks and move on. You don't have –
it's not bar hopping. I mean, come on.
No, what's the bar in – like when you go to like Cozumel or something, it's like
– Oh, Senior Frogs?
This is not Senior Frogs. This is not where the goal is to get as drunk as humanly possible and then stumble back. This is not Senior Frogs. Let's be reasonable here.
Grow up.
Yeah, exactly.
And get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Nice podcast, Grandpa. All right. All right. Well, that'll do it for me today. Don't forget, of course, this episode has been sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And, you know, we looked at All Star Vacations to stay at this trip. And, boy, we probably should have done that, actually, now I think about it. But, you know, it's a great deal, in fact, All Star Vacation Homes. If you're going down there, you can get all the space, all the great amenities. It's very close to Walt Disney World. In fact, check them out right now, allstarvacationhomes.com. For Lentesta, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchford. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.